Well, hey, welcome to Central. It's great having you back with us, or if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Gary, and we are thrilled to have you with us this weekend. Whether you are joining us in the morning online or whether you're in person at one of our campuses, I believe that today that you will find the strength, courage, and hope that God wants for you to be able to move forward in your relationship with Christ. I believe that this is no ordinary Sunday. I believe that we have a reason to praise God this morning, no matter what we are facing or what we're going through. And I believe that he comforts us in the midst of our pain. I believe that he provides a path with clarity and purpose as we answer the call in our lives. How many of you believe in that this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like you were called to do something greater, but were unsure whether you were the right person? Or maybe you heard a voice inside saying, step up, this is your moment, but felt too unqualified or afraid to respond. Today we look at the most powerful moments of a divine calling in the Bible when the prophet Isaiah hears God's call and without hesitation responds, here am I, send me. Isaiah's response is not just a moment in history. It's a pattern for us to follow when God calls us to step out in faith, to serve others, and live out his purpose in our lives. We see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died and saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, which had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we can see that we have an opportunity, God, to be used by you. And so, Lord, I pray that today, God, that you will help us to answer the call. God, that you would help us to be able to be influenced by your word today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be open to receive and to see the greatness that you have in store for our church and our community and our world. So, God, we give you glory in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we look at Isaiah, and before Isaiah hears God's call in verse 8, he is struck by the holiness of the moment in verse 5 when he recognizes unworthiness and he says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah's first encounters God's holiness, which leads him to a deep sense of humility. But before we can answer God's call, we must first recognize who God is and the need that we have of him. Our response to God is rooted in his greatness, not our own qualifications. Now, if we look at verse 8, we see a personal invitation. And it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Today, I believe that God is calling all of us. Whom shall I send is a personal invitation. It might not always be an audible voice, but God's calling comes through his word, his spirit, and the needs that are around us. Isaiah's response in verse 8 is immediate and bold. Here am I, send me. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't look for excuses or wonder if someone else is more qualified. His heart is open and he is ready to obey. God calls us today. His call often requires us to step outside of our comfort zone. It's easy to think that I'm not ready. How many of us have been there? I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. But the willingness to go is often more important than being able to be fully equipped. When we say yes to God, He provides strength. He provides wisdom and resources that we need to fulfill the calling that we have. Think about Moses, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses had plenty of excuses. He was a fugitive. He had a speech impediment. He was unsure of his ability, but he finally said yes. And when he said yes, God began to use him in ways that he never imagined. God is looking for willing hearts. God is not waiting for perfect people to answer the call. He is looking for hearts that are ready to serve. Isaiah's willingness shows that God's desire and our obedience is more important than our ability. If we wait for the perfect time or to feel perfectly prepared, we may miss out on opportunities that God is placing on us. So what does it look like to grow with Christ? If we are new to following Jesus, or if we've been doing this relationship with Jesus for a while, what does it look like? And although no one will ever be perfect, we are called to grow in our faith. And God designed us so that we could flourish. But how do we grow? So here at Central, we've identified five central points of connections that we believe the Bible teaches that are characteristics of the people who follow Jesus. The 5 points, when we've talked about these before, but it's evident because we're going to be able to show through the text this morning, as well as we have our elders that are going to be sharing as well through video. And I believe it's really going to be powerful for us this morning. But these 5 points should become evident in our lives. The first one that we're looking at is attend regularly. Attending regularly is something that is so important. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Being able to come together. Being able to join together and to celebrate and to worship and to be a part. When we gather together regularly, we create an atmosphere of engagement or of encouragement and hope that we can't experience on our own. We gather together to build that atmosphere, to be a part, to be able to partner together, to enjoy together, whether it would be attending on a Sunday morning experience, which is incredible, or maybe it would be doing something outside of the church walls, but joining together, making church a regular part of our life helps us stay grounded. It helps us stay focused. It helps us stay connected to what truly matters. Because it's so easily to get distracted. It's so easily to be able to walk away from where God has taken us and where God wants us to go. But when we can attend regularly, when we can attend 3 or 4 times a month, it begins to provide an area in our lives that I like to call momentum. And there's nothing greater than having momentum in our lives. The second point, the second connection that we have today is to be able to connect relationally. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." Encourage one another. Build one another up just as you are doing. It shows us that not only is something that we're supposed to do, but it's something that we're supposed to continually do. Continually be a part of encouraging one another and connecting relationally. Connecting with others in church creates an authentic, supportive community where we lift each other up and remind each other of the hope in Christ. When we're able to connect and be together, we're able to share and show that love of God and that hope in Christ, that we're able to see things that maybe we can't see, but someone else sees, and they can encourage us and help us. And one of those areas that reminds us to be together is our connect groups. Connect groups turn church from a place you visit into a community that you belong to. Connect groups is a place where you begin to go from one avenue to another and begin to realize that, hey, I need this body of believers to be a part. Maybe it's a one-on-one discipleship. Maybe it's something that's transitional. It just goes from one place to another. Or maybe it's a Bible study, but whatever it may be. Our connect groups is really what turns our church from a place that you visit into a community. Something that we long for and something that we hope for. And something that we want to be a part of. And so we're going to share right now a video on that connect relationally.
Hi, my name is Jay Reesberg. I am one of your new elders here at Central, and I am very proud to serve this church. One of the 5 points of connection that I feel connecting relationally is the area that I could improve in most. Don't get me wrong, I like to connect with people, and some very deeply. I have some great friends, guys that I can share anything with. These guys and these relationships that have helped me build my confidence in sharing the word. 10 years ago, if you would have told me that I'd be sharing the word with my friends and having people come to me for spiritual advice, I would have said you're crazy. But 6 years ago, Pastor Ryan said at church to read the Bible 10 minutes a day. At first, nothing clicked, but I kept reading. I didn't feel different. I didn't see myself a scholar or even someone that would be worthy of giving biblical advice. I kept reading. I found myself gaining confidence. My relationship with the Lord has grown dramatically. Throughout the years, I have noticed a change in me. Apparently, so have other people. Friends and even family would come to me for advice, and I felt confident in my response. I don't always give an answer right away. I like to think about it, I pray on it, and I ask God for his help in my response. I know I have grown in that regards. But my comfort zone is still with people that I know. One of the verses that I felt highlighted the importance of this connection is Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look not only on your own interest, but also the interest of others. I am comfortable around people I know. Strangers are a different story. It takes me a while to warm up. But it is easy for me to talk to people that have the same interest as me. I can talk about cars or motorcycles all day long. Get me in a room with people I don't know, and you won't hear a word come out of my mouth. As a leader in this church, I know I need to grow in this area, and I need to get out of my comfort zone. One thing my wife has taught me, meeting new people is always a great thing. It had always been her thing, not mine, but I have grown a lot in the last 15 years. God doesn't make mistakes. I know he has a plan for me. I know he wants me to grow, and sometimes that means doing things that make us uncomfortable. It's his plan, not mine. My goal this year and the years following is to start simple. I need to grow in the area of connecting relationally with people I don't know. It all starts with an introduction. I'm going to get better with coming out of my comfort zone and introducing myself to people at Central that I do not know.
In week one of Pastor Ryan's series, Fully Alive in 25, Pastor asked us to look at Central Core's values and ask yourself which one of these you wanted to focus on in 2025. For me, it was connect relationally. You know, be more spontaneous in communicating with others in the time of need, time of joy, you know, possibly just taking the time to sit down and listen to them. You know, and really, for me, to even proclaim my faith in front of them. You know, I give you an example. I was at one of my accounts a few weeks back, and an elderly lady, you know, was in the store. We said hi together. We talked and talked about the weather. And as she approached to getting ready to check out, she handed her checkbook to the cashier, and she wrote the check out, and then she needed her phone number. You know, she sat there for a while and could not remember her phone number, where they were not going to let her have her items unless she had that phone number on her check. And again, she was troubled, confused, and really did not know why she was not going to get those items. You know, and I sat in that aisle and I heard everything going on and I said, you know what, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to, write the check out and help her out and send her on her way. But you know what, I never did. I beat myself up the entire way home to Carroll. It took me an hour to get back to Carroll, and I don't know, I just beat myself up. I said, what the heck, why didn't I go and help this lady out? And I always referred to that chapter, John 3:34, when Jesus had proclaimed that commandment, love one another as I love you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another. Well, I failed at that. So again, there's a couple areas that I really wanted to focus on in order for me to help me out in connecting relationally. And the first one is prayer. I love to pray, talking to God. Jeremiah 29:12-13. When you call my name and come to me in prayer, I will listen. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me, you will seek me with your whole heart. You know, that last part of that verse, when you seek me with your whole heart, that's pretty powerful. And that leads me to the next area where I really wanted to focus on is really diving into His Word. Reading the Bible, not just reading it, but really taking it to heart, studying it, examining it. Pastor Ryan started a Connect group, and it's all about reading a chapter a day. But at the same time, we really look at what it meant to us and possibly even how it moved us. I love the verse from Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to a person's whole body. Pretty strong, right? I feel very strongly that in order for me to connect relationally, I first need to connect relationally with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with my whole heart. I look back at that situation with that elderly lady, and I'm still bothered to this day of why I never helped out. I just don't know why. And I was reminded that verse that Pastor Ryan said in week one of Isaiah 55:8-9. God states, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I firmly believe today that God was speaking to me to step up and help this lady out. Again, His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before. I think God sometimes puts us in those situations, to connect relationally, possibly even to experience a miracle that's possibly working within that person. And I don't want to mess up again.
Point number 3 is serve purposefully. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And so when we think about serving purposefully, I believe that we serve with intention. It creates a ripple effect that touches both our lives and the lives of others. It's that ripple effect. If you've ever seen it on an ocean or a lake, but you have that ripple effect, you throw that rock in the water, it ripples through, it makes contact, it builds momentum. I think it's so important for us to understand how important it is for us to be able to serve. We don't have to be perfect to serve. We simply need to accept God's cleansing and embrace the new identity that He offers. God calls us not in our own strength, but in His. That God will strengthen us. That God will show us. But that we have to have a willingness to be a part of what God is doing. We have to have a desire and an openness in that. You see, faith in action is where it becomes real and tangible. When we show compassion and serve others, we put God's love into practice. And there's nothing greater than to be able to do that, to put that love in action. There's so many things that we can do. You can see on the screen of serve team opportunities. I mean, and in reality, those are a part of what we do. But there's things in there that is where it's in your wheelhouse, where you're gifted and you're talented and you're able to take God's love and begin to serve others, begin to lead and begin to care for. And I believe that this year, as we become fully alive in 25, that these are areas where you can begin to see success in your walk with God. This is an area where you can begin to do great things. And so we're going to share a video of how we serve purposefully.
Well, hello. My name is John Sampson. I'm an elder here at Central, as well as our operations director. And the connection point I'm going to talk about today is serving purposefully. Now, the caption for serving purposefully is the habit of sharing my gifts and talents to further the mission of Central. Let me repeat that. The habit of sharing my gifts and talents to further the mission of Central. The Bible states that serving a church is a way to worship God, express gratitude, and love others. It also says that everyone is called to serve, and that there are many opportunities to serve in church. In fact, Galatians 5, 13 through 14 helps us understand the value of serving. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself." Serving allows us to love others. Before I came on staff about 7 years ago, I served at church in a variety of ways. I've been an elder. I've taught kids' church and helped in the nursery. I've assisted with VBX. I've cleaned. I've hosted connect groups and progressive dinners, helped with youth group, and many other things. But now that I'm on the staff, serving as a volunteer isn't so simple. I need to be intentional about helping beyond my job description. Thankfully, I found joy and fulfillment in serving here. I feel a sense of accomplishment each time I serve. I believe everyone attending Central should share in this. There are other examples of scriptures that reinforce the importance of serving in church. 1 Peter 4, 10-11 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." We're called to use what gifts we receive from God to serve others. Plus, we should use the strengths God gives us so that He will be praised. I do have a little different perspective now that I'm on staff here at church. Yes, I'm paid to serve now, but I also have a great appreciation of all the volunteers who help make this church run every Sunday, as well as throughout the week. I check Planning Center to count how many people volunteer on any given Sunday. Would you believe that between 55 and 60 volunteers serve each week? And we can always use more. As a staff, we strive to allow volunteers time off between serving. So that number actually climbs to over 150 different people serving each month. When you consider 300 to 400 people walk through our doors most Sundays, it takes an army of volunteers. It's impossible for our staff of just 6 people to do everything necessary to operate this church. That's why serving is so essential. One area I do volunteer is with our youth group. I've been involved in some capacity in youth ministry ever since I came to the church over 27 years ago. I guess it's part of my calling, even though I guess I never really thought it was that way. It's just kind of how it came to be. But I serve alongside a great team of volunteers every week here at our youth center. And I gladly give up my Wednesdays to help reach those students for Jesus. In fact, a couple of us leaders even give up a week of our summer every year to go to Lincoln, Nebraska for the CIY Move Youth Conference. Now, I say all this to help you understand the significance and importance of serving purposefully. Serving makes a difference. I'll leave you with this final scripture. In Matthew 9, 36 and 37, Jesus was teaching through the towns and villages, sharing the good news and healing people. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As Pastor Ryan shared recently, there are over 15,000 people alone in Carroll County who don't go to church. The harvest is indeed plentiful. Are you willing to volunteer as a worker to help reach people for Jesus?
When we think about serving purposefully, just like Isaiah, answering God's call will change you. It might stretch you in ways you've never imagined, but God's call always brings growth and purpose. It forces us to rely on Him, to trust Him more deeply, and to grow in ways that we didn't think possible. And that is one of the greatest things when we think about our walk with God, is that the things that as we grow in ways that we think are impossible. Some of you are in here that never thought that you would be in a church. And some of you are going to start serving in ways that you never thought were possible. And we're thankful for that. The fourth point that we're sharing today is giving generously. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give it all and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be the measured back to you. When we give generously, we are unlocking the door for God to do the impossible. I don't know about you, but I hate when I lose my keys and I can't get into my vehicle or I can't get into my house. It's an impossible place to be in. And that is the same way in our step of faith as we look at being generous. When we are unable to unlock the door, it seems like there is no promise. It seems like there is no opportunity. But when we begin to give generously, not only in our finances, but in our time and in our service, in our opportunities that we have, God begins to unlock that door that seems to be impossible, and then things begin to happen. Faithfulness and generosity allows us to step into God's provision, trusting that He will supply what we can give. Faithfulness begins to open the door of generosity as we step into what God has to offer. I'm so thankful for the generosity of our church, but I can tell you this morning, there is so much more that God has for us. There is so much more that God has for us. And so we're going to watch a video today that explains that a little bit more.
Hi, I am Marcus Irwin. I'm a new elder here at Central. I serve at Awana. I serve in the back with the sound. I serve on the connection team and wherever else they need me. So I just wanted to talk to you about today about one of the 5 points. So I gave this some serious thought on which of the 5 points I really need to focus on. For some reason, every time I went over each point, something in the back of my mind kept coming back to me and what I should focus on. That was giving. I know. It's everyone's favorite point. I mean, we are talking about money. Now, it could be because I work in finance and deal with money and taxes on a daily basis, but God really wanted me to focus on this. I will be honest, and this is hard to admit because of my job and what I do for a living, but I struggle with this point. We don't give the 10%, and I haven't truly trusted God with this part of my life. Now, I'm not going to say we don't give. We give weekly, and we are very intentional about our giving. I know that I could use a number of reasons why. I have 3 kids at home, trying to raise a family. But again, this is a part of me that God wanted me to focus. Now, I'm not saying I'm a lover of money. I would like to say we live modestly and not out of our means. It does say in Timothy 6:10, which states, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people that are eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So, Bible is clear on the role of money in someone's life. In Hebrews 13:5, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" So again, I feel like money does not have a control on my life. So, being a numbers person, I want to give some numbers. According to Wealth with Purpose, there are more than 2,000 verses that deal with mention money, wealth, and a person's belongings in the Bible. Now, not all of those have to deal with the tithe and giving. Of those 2,000 verses, over 100 verses deal with giving or tithing. So yes, Jesus did have a lot to say about money. So what is the correct amount? What should I strive for? I remember a message right here not that long ago, which had a couple of points. They were, the tithe is 10% of your gross income. There is no debate about that. A tithe should be a minimum, and any offering is above the tithe. God does not want the leftovers. And that statement has sat with me since I first heard it. It says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I can say that my treasure is not money, but taking that next step and saying, "God, take control of my life in this." That is what I have to work on, and I believe I am taking steps on that. So I looked at my life and said, yes, I am short on this, but what else can I do? I can give my time, such as serving. I can give my knowledge by teaching, and I can give my heart to Jesus by leading my family and church in my role and expand his message beyond these walls. Being able to see my kids learn and share about God and Jesus is something that I will never take for granted. I am now having conversations with my own kids about God. I'm helping them read the Bible and understand it, which makes me want to read it and understand it more. And do you see how one connection point leads to another? By starting to attend, you will connect with others. And by connecting with others, you will want to serve with them and help each other on their next steps. And by connecting, you will want to invite others to share with you. So in doing all of these will make you want to continue to give so that we are able to reach others. I am beyond blessed to be able to be here today and share this with you. If you would have told me 8 years ago I would be standing right here and sharing this, I would have laughed, probably left, and never came back. As some of you know, I started to attend just over 8 years ago. After the loss of my brother, I was lost and needed some answers. We had heard of Central, and having a one-year-old at home and one on the way, we wanted somewhere that had a nursery and a good kids' church. As I remember growing up and having to attend church and having to sit, be quiet, not make any noise, I did not want that to be a reason why not to come to church. I just remember walking in these doors and having this feeling of comfort. Now, I can say that since I've started to attend Central, some of our closest friends and people that have made an impact in my life have come from Central and have changed my life. This place has truly changed me. I just wanted to share that with you. So, seeing what this place is doing, it does make me want to continue to give so that we can keep reaching others and sharing the Word of God.
Invite boldly as our last points of connection. Invite boldly. We see in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without some preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Church isn't about a building. It's about a community. A community of people who belong together. And so we invite We boldly invite others not just to a service, but to a family, a place where they can find support, a place where they can find connection, and a place that they can find growth. I tell you this morning that if you're here today because somebody invited you boldly, make sure you tell them thank you. Can I tell you this morning that God is in this place because we invite Him as our Creator. We invite Him as our Lord boldly into our presence and saying, God, we want You into our lives. God, we want You to be here to help us and to lead us. In the same way, we want to be able to invite our friends and our family to a place where our Lord is King and our Lord is number one. We see after Isaiah volunteers and says, here am I, send me. God gave him a challenge. In verses 9 through 13, which I won't read, but God gives him a challenge, a challenging task to speak to a people who will not listen, to preach a message that will be rejected. The call of God is often not glamorous or easy. But saying yes doesn't mean everything will be smooth sailing. In fact, sometimes the path that God calls us to will be difficult, filled with obstacles and opposition. But even when the going gets tough, we can be confident that God is with us and that His purpose will prevail. And so as you invite boldly this week and invite people to come to Central, not just to be in a church, but to be a part of a family, to be able to hear the experience of what God is doing here, and that our God is alive. And as we do that, I believe that His purpose will prevail. And so we're going to share a video of what it means for someone to walk boldly as they invite others.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dale Padawam. I serve as an elder here at Central Church. Of the 5 points of connection, invite boldly is the one I find most challenging. When I was first asked to speak, my immediate reaction was, no way. My mind started racing with all the reasons why I couldn't do it. I'm not prepared. I'm not a great speaker. I will mess up. I'm sure you've all heard that voice inside your head telling you to avoid uncomfortable situations, right? But then I remembered something my friend once told me. It's not about you. And suddenly, everything shifted. This little piece of advice was like a light bulb turning on in my head. I realized I'd been looking at this whole situation, and maybe even many situations, completely the wrong way. I wasn't thinking about what I could give, but rather what I might lose. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I look foolish? It was all focused on me. But then it hit me. This moment, this speech, even inviting someone new to church, it's not about me at all. It's about the person I might connect with, the opportunity to make someone feel heard, seen, or even a little bit less alone. It's about offering something of value to others, whether it's a moment of insight, encouragement, or telling them about a place that feels like home. The truth is, every time we hesitate to speak outside our comfort zone, whether it's meeting someone new, sharing our thoughts, or reaching out, we're letting that voice tell us it's about us. But when we shift that focus, we realize that these opportunities are about the other person. What can we offer them? How can we make their experience better? Maybe you just smile, maybe you share a bit of kindness, or maybe, like me, you take a small leap and speak up. So the next time you're hesitant to invite someone new, to step out of your comfort zone, or to put yourself in a situation that feels a little scary, remember, invite boldly. It's not about you.
Though Isaiah's message was often rejected in his lifetime, his obedience and faithfulness left a lasting legacy. His writings continue to inspire and shape our understanding of God's plan of salvation through Jesus. By answering the call, Isaiah made a profound impact, not just in his generation, but for all. Your willingness to answer God's call may not always lead to an immediate recognition or success, but you can have eternal significance. Whether it's serving in your family, your community, or on a global scale, your obedience to God's call contributes to his kingdom in ways that you may never fully see on this side of heaven. The question that God asked us in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" It's not just a call to Isaiah. It's a call to each of us. God is still asking the question today, how will you respond? Will you respond like Isaiah and say, "Here am I, send me. Let me be part of a connect group. Let me be able to attend regularly so that I can have influence in my family." Will you step out in faith, trusting that God will equip you for the task that is ahead? Will you answer God's call no matter the cost, knowing that your obedience brings glory to him and advances his kingdom? And as we go out today, let us be reminded that God's call is not for the perfect, but for the willing. When we say yes to God, we allow him to transform us, empower us, and use us in ways that we could never have imagined. Our 5 points of connection to attend regularly, serve purposefully, give generously, invite boldly, and connect relationally is designed for you to be able to grow in your walk with God. And when you miss one of those connections, when one of those connections are difficult and you're not pushing through and you're not able to find success, when one of those are missing, our pathway to growth spiritually is hindered. We want you to be a success. We want you to continue to strive and to work. And as those videos shared, we all fall short in how we accomplish and where we need to go and God, where God wants us to be led. But remember, God has a plan for us to grow, for us to connect, for us to be a part, for us to serve. And with that, great things are ahead, not only in Central Church, but great things are ahead in the kingdom of God. As we say, "Yes, God, I will answer the call, and I will do what you've called me to do." In Jesus' name, let's pray.